You know, Debbie and I got in trouble the other night. The first night we was at this PAM rehab, when we was at Seton Cedar Park, they allowed us to, when she needed to get up, I could help her get her legs off the bed. I could help her get set up, and then we called the nurse, and the nurses came in and got her up to walk and whatever, what she needed to do. Well, we went to this PAM facility. We was there a couple of hours, and Debbie needed to get up, so I walked over. I started pulling her legs off just like we've done before. She started to set up, and all of a sudden, this loud noise started going off. They had a bed alarm on that thing. I mean, it was loud. Debbie said, "What did you do?" And I said, "I didn't do anything." I mean, it was loud. This nurse, three nurses came running into that and said, "What are y'all doing? You're not supposed to get up." And I said, "We're not getting up. We're just getting ready to get up so y'all can help us." And this this one nurse, she said, went like this to me, "Come here." I went, "Oh no," I felt like I was in sixth grade. And she walked over, there was a poster on the bathroom door. She pointed at it and tapped it like that. She said, "Read that." And I started reading it. She said, no, "Read it out loud." So I had to read that whole poster out loud. It said, "We won't get up by ourselves. We won't do anything by ourselves," basically. I said, "We wasn't getting," she said, "Read the poster." So I haven't helped her since. You know, we got so much trouble. I told Debbie I felt like I was in Madge Smith's sixth grade class. If you went to Bertram, she taught sixth grade. And she would look at you glasses like this, saying, "I'm watching you," and then she would point her finger at you. But we got in big time trouble that day. So we haven't done that since. But she appreciates everybody's prayers and everybody thinking about her. She did PT Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. She told me last night, "If they come in to do PT today, I'm telling them no." She is sore, you know. So the nurses last night told her if they do it on Saturday, they usually don't do PT on Sunday. And Debbie said, "It's a good thing because I'm not doing it." So she hadn't texted me yet today to see if she told them no or not.
Ronnie, fill out your own poster and make it nursery.
Yeah. Yeah. I might do that. I hadn't thought of that, but I just might do that. Yeah. Yeah. But I really did felt like I was back in sixth grade when she went like that and said, "Read it." And then she said, "No, read it out loud." It is a nice facility, though. I'm not saying it's not a nice facility. And the nurses and the people there are really nice. It's just something that we wasn't used to, and the hospital let us help. We're not here. But anyway, she's making do, and one of these days she'll get better again. You know, again, thanks, Alan, for teaching last week on a last-minute notice. You almost got called last night about 9 o'clock on another notice, but Debbie said, "You're not doing that again." She said, "I don't care how bad I am, you're going tomorrow." So, she wouldn't let me call you last night. But so thanks for teaching last week. You know, the first week I was here a long time ago, we looked at where the gospel was preached in the book of Acts. We looked at, made the statement, anywhere, any place, at any time, to individuals, to rulers, to groups. That's where it was preached. Upstairs windows, on a boat, in a house rented because he was in chains with being arrested at the very end. If you call in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, as Luke is beginning his this book, he begins it by saying, in the former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. But what he's saying is, I'm writing you just a continuation, a part two. Luke is part one. If I'm encouraging somebody to start reading the Bible, sometimes I'll tell them, read the book of Luke, and then immediately go to the book of Acts. And just to read it, read those two together, because it talks about Jesus and Luke, and the book of Acts talks about the spread of the message of Christ. You know, and I picture Theophilus getting this letter, sitting down and getting so engrossed in reading it that he doesn't put it down until he finishes reading everything. Now, when he got it, it didn't have chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 2, verse 2, chapter 28. It was just a letter. But I can picture him just starting to read that, and as he's reading it, thinking, wow, look at what they went through. Look at what happened. Look at how they remained faithful. Oh, look at what they did. I know where Athens is. Think about what they did in Athens. You know, I know where Philippi is. Oh, he was treated really bad in Philippi. That's just my imagination, okay? I just picture the reader just being amazed and being engrossed in reading it. The second week I was teaching, we looked at who taught the gospel, who preached the gospel. And we made the statement, no certain person, they were scattered, they went about preaching. They were persecutions and they were scattered. Remember, it tells us in, I think in chapter 8, those that were scattered preached the word, told the people about Christ. It wasn't just a certain group of people. I have in my notes the believers as they went. They preached and they told others about Jesus. So today what I want us to look at is the idea of what happens when the message is preached. What happens when you go out and you tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Years ago, when we were in Medina, and that's been a long time ago, remember those Jewel Miller film strips that we used to show? I had knocked doors of the town, and I'd gotten somebody to agree to watch those with me. So me and Debbie got those and got the projector, and you know, we headed to those people's house at the set time. When I pulled up to the people's house, there was like five or six cars in the driveway. And my immediate action was, wow, everybody's coming to hear this. Well, when I got in the house, it wasn't everybody's coming to hear this. It was those people's older sons and daughters that was coming not to listen to the message, but they wanted to make sure that I wasn't trying to scam them. They was making sure I wasn't trying to get money from them. But they did sit down and they listened and they watched the film strips. It didn't come to anything. But I remember thinking when I first pulled in, whoa, look at all these cars. They invited their friends and neighbors to hear this. Well, they didn't invite their sons and daughters. Their sons and daughters came to make sure we weren't trying to get something from them. But what happens? People believe. You know, when you preach the message, people believe. And we see that throughout the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, just to read a few scriptures. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Those who accepted it. Then you go to verse 47. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Chapter 4 and verse 2. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles was teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Verse 4, but many who heard the message believed, and the number grew to about 5,000. You find this throughout the book of Acts, that people believed. People believed. In Acts chapter, I think it's chapter 8. When it was talking about Simon the sorcerer. Look in verse 13. Simon himself believed and was baptized. We know Simon, when the apostles came down there and laying on the hands and they received the Holy Spirit, first thing he did was, I want that power too. And Peter gave him a really strict rebuke. Verse 20, may your money perish with you. You thought you could buy the gift of God with money. If you read the next couple of verses, it scared the daylights out of Simon. Verse 34, Simon answered, pray to me, pray to the Lord for me that so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Simon also came to believe, and we'll look at him again at another example. But people believe. Think of the Philippian jailer. That it says that when he woke up, remember he was going to kill himself? And Paul and Silas said, don't hurt yourself, we're all here. Says he brought him out and he and his whole family believed. That's what happens when you preach the gospel. Not everybody, but people believe. Something else that happens is persecution. Now, we don't have the persecution today, like, or at least here in this area, like they did. I don't know of anybody that's been stoned. I've had rocks thrown at me when I was a kid because I was ugly to somebody, but that's a little bit different. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about the stoning of Stephen. And I'm still, every time I read that story, I think of Richard, you and Teresa, the kids, when they were doing their Bible hour, and they had the paper rocks, and they were letting one kid pretend to be Stephen, and the other kids stoning them, about how that they were amazed how that the ones that were stoning just got in, even Mason and Alvin and I think Mandy was in there too, how they just, all the kids just got just revved up just over and over and over and over again. They just kept throwing rocks and kept throwing rocks. The paper rocks, okay? And that's how I picture when Stephen was stoned, that they was just so revved up. I don't know if you recall or not the movie that Gary showed to us years ago. It had this scene where Stephen was being stoned. And the last scene, it showed this guy with a big rock just throwing it down on them, and then the screen went blank. You know, because that was the last rock that was thrown, evidently, you know, according to that movie. And it did its job. That there was persecution. You know, we might get laughed at or talked about, but we're not going to be stoned or whipped, you know, with rods. That we do, there is persecution. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, it was about that time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. Persecution. When he saw it pleased the Jews. As I read that just then, I thought, wow, how hard-hearted were those Jews, that the killing of somebody pleased them. But persecutions happen. And you can read that throughout the book of Acts. Something else that happens is mockery. You know, in Acts chapter 17, as Paul is in the city of Athens, I don't know what those glasses are supposed to do, but I sure can't see anything with them. In Acts chapter 17, as he's in Athens, my version's in verse 18, says a group of Epicureans and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them ask, what is this babbler trying to say? What is this crazy guy trying to say? What's the New Living say? I forgot to look at that. Somebody have a New Living? Okay.
Yeah. He's pushing some foreign religion.
Yeah. But the idea of babbler is not a, you know, people's told me I've just babbled on and on before. You know, but it's not a sense of commendation. They were saying, what's he talking about? They found out, you know, a little bit later, but mockery. Even King Agrippa in Acts 26. If you recall Paul preaching, making his defense, and King Agrippa tells him, do you think you can make me a Christian in such a short a time? The idea here is, do you think that's possible? And that's where Paul made the statement that where he says, in verse 29, Paul said, short time or long, I pray God that not only you but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. You know, in my mind, as Paul is before King Agrippa right here, he forgets that he's a prisoner for just a few minutes. He forgets that he's on trial. And he's preaching the message. And in my mind, when he gets to that point right there, he raises his hands and said, I wish that everybody was like me and that the chains rattled maybe, except for these chains. But the idea, when Agrippa says this, it's almost like, you're crazy, guy. You're not going to convert me in such a short period of time. But Paul says, I wish everybody. You even have misunderstandings in Lystra in Acts chapter 14. When they came to Lystra, the people saw them and heard them and saw what they did. And the first thing they wanted to do was offer sacrifices to them. Remember that story? They healed a man. And verse 11 says, when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted to the in the Lyconian language, the gods have come down to us in human form. They were going to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men. Humans like you, we're bringing you good news." They tried to put a stop to it. The people at Lystra here was just doing what they knew. This is what they tried. This is what they did. They offered sacrifices to their gods. But they didn't understand what Paul and Barnabas was trying to say. You even had doubts. You know, the people at Athens, as they were talking, "What is this babbler having to say?" And then they went to the Areopagus, the meeting with the Areopagus, and Paul began to preach them and talk to them about the unknown God. And in verse 32, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered. Others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." Some sneered. Some doubted. And you know, there's going to be some that just, no matter what you say, just won't believe. And you find that throughout Paul's journeys. Some believed, some didn't, just like right here. It says, "We want to hear more again on this subject." At that point, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. Some believed, but some didn't. But you know, as I was thinking about what to say for the class today and working on it, and I had all of these points laid out, and I had more scriptures to say with each one of them. But the other day, I thought about what happens when the gospel is preached. Notice with me in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs was done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possession and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. But a community was born. A community of believers was born. When the gospel is preached, that's what happens. We become family. We become workers together. We meet together we help each other. We worship together. You know, Debbie and I have seen this quite a bit in the past little while. You know, I think as much as we've been fed, we both gained weight. You know, people will say, "Hey, I'm walking into your house and putting something on your table for you. Are y'all fixing to be home?" A couple of times I've said, "No, but just put it in the refrigerator." You know, so they... After I've said that, Debbie's looked at me before and she said, "Is there room?" And I said, "I think so." She said, "It better not be a mess." You know, I don't know if it was or not. Her idea of mess and my idea of mess is two different things, you know. But just the way we have a community together. I don't know what people do that doesn't have this community. And this community is for all people. You know, in Acts chapter 10, as Peter is at the house of Cornelius, in verse 34, it says, "Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts man from every nation who fear him and do what is right." This message is for all people, not just a certain group, but for all people. You know, last year in our elders' meeting, we read Ephesians chapter 2 every week and discussed it. You would think after 52 weeks that you would run out of discussion on something, but we never discuss the same thing. There's just so much there. But as Paul is writing to the people at Ephesus, and I know Ephesus is in my Bible someplace. It's after Galatians. Here it is. But in chapter 2, notice in beginning in verse 11, "Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body of that by the hands of man. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in this world." As he's writing these, he's showing the difference. That the Gentiles was away from all of this, without hope, foreigners, without God in this world. Verse 13, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you once who were far off have been brought near through the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations." Wow. In Christ, the message of Christ, he broke down that wall that we are all one. No longer Jew, no longer Gentile. The wall has been broken down. We have this hope, this assurance, because of God's word, because of what we have right here. You know, there's a song, and Alan, I'm not going to get you to lead it. I'm sorry. Not I'm sorry, but I didn't want to spring this on you. I forgot to ask you before, so we're not going to spring it on you right now, but it's look at song number 744. Part of the family that's been born again, part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in the sunshine, together in the rain, together in victory through his precious name. And though some go before us, we'll all meet again just inside the city as we enter in. There'll be no more parting. With Jesus we'll be together forever, God's family. Sing the chorus with me. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, shed together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. That all takes place because of the gospel. when we preach the gospel, when we teach it. Let's have a word of prayer as we conclude. Father, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for being our God. Thank you that Jesus came to this earth to live and to die. Father, that he gave his life willingly. It wasn't taken from him. He gave it willingly so that we could come to you. Thank you that we're all part of your family. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.